Morning.
Thank you, Richard, for reading that for us. And that's going to be where our thoughts dwell out of this morning. Specifically, in verses 17 through 19 of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And as we begin talking about this morning, I want to note that in verse 17, we see a transition in the inspired thought of Paul. In the verses prior to verse 17 and verses 7 through 16, we find Paul talking about the church bodies, how the church body functions as a whole, how we come together and we function as a whole. And in verse 7, he starts off talking about how God has given us gifts to help us with that growth. And by gifts, he's meaning talents or abilities. And in this particular case, he talks about the offices there that he mentions in verse 11. And those gifts and talents and abilities have been given to the church for the purpose of equipping the saints, of edifying the body, and uniting the body under Jesus Christ, so that we may help one another grow, so that we may not be easily tossed to and fro by false doctrines, and that we may be able to come together and speak the truth to one another in love. So there we find the function of the body, edifying itself in love. And when we jump down to verse 17, we find that Paul narrows the scope of what he's talking about. He's talked about the body as a whole, and now he begins talking about the specific individuals, the actions of the individual Christians, because those actions are going to affect the whole. And he starts talking about Christian conduct, which in an overall view consists of casting off the former conduct of ourselves, the sinful conduct, and putting on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, as he says there in verse 24. But I find it interesting how he begins this section of the letter, as we have recorded in verses 17 through 19, because he begins talking about the rest of the Gentile world, being the ones who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, who have alienated themselves from God. He talks about how they are walking in the futility of their minds. They're perpetually dwelling on things that are not of God. They're dwelling on things that are of the world. They had given themselves over to sin, and it was sin that now controlled their lives, for they were greedy for their sinful acts that they were committing. And when they committed those sins, they were so far removed from God that their conscience no longer had a warning for them when they gave those sins. When they committed those sins, it says they were past feeling. The sins no longer bothered them that they committed. And when we examine these three verses talking about the Gentiles being alienated from God, and we look at these, and what do we find as the cause or the start of that path towards sin, that path towards being alienated from God? Well, I think we find that there in the 18th verse, where it says, because of the ignorance of God that is in them, and because of the blindness of their hearts. And that's what I want to spend the rest of this morning talking about. Ignorance and the blindness of the hearts. The beginning of how we can begin ourselves walking down this pathway of sin. Because even though we've gathered here today as members of Christ's body, and these Gentiles were not ever members of Christ's body, but we're still subject to this path. We can still be led astray through ignorance and through a blind heart. And we're going to talk about those two things respectively this morning, ignorance and the blindness of hearts. So when Paul here is referring to ignorance, what is he talking about? How do we define ignorance? I think we all have a pretty good understanding of what ignorance is. And ignorance is the lack of knowledge, either generally speaking or specifically in some kind of area or subject. This morning it's going to be a subject. All of us in this room are ignorant in some capacity or another. There are plenty of things I'm ignorant concerning, probably more than most. Take, for example, that I'm completely ignorant in the telecommunications field, because I've never studied it, I've never tried to have any knowledge in it. But Steve, on the other hand, that's what the man does for a living, so he's not ignorant in it. And there's one separation point that I want to make before we go on, and it really applies to what we're talking about this morning, is that ignorance is something different than intelligence. Ignorance is the lack of knowledge. Now, intelligence may affect how quickly we gain knowledge of a subject, but it doesn't affect the ignorance that we're talking about here, the ignorance of the will of God and what God would have us to do. For if you're sitting here understanding the words I'm saying, and you can follow along with my thoughts if they're willing to follow along, you can understand the will of the Lord. And so ignorance doesn't have anything to do with intelligence in this case. If you are intelligent enough to read the Word of God, you are intelligent enough to understand and not be ignorant in the Word of the Lord. So that is the subject that Paul is referring to here in Ephesians 4:18. God and His will concerning us. And that's what he's saying about the Gentiles, is that they did not understand this. They were not knowledgeable of God and His will. So we come to the question of how is this ignorance that Paul is referring to, how does it affect us? Because we obviously have some kind of understanding of God and His will for us. If we did not have that understanding, that basic understanding, we certainly wouldn't be here today. That's why we've gathered here this morning, to sit around and discuss God's will towards us. We know that God is our Creator. He created us for good works. He created us to live a sinful life walking with Him in the Garden of Eden. And we know that He sent Christ to redeem us of our sins, and that His will for us is to follow Christ. But the knowledge that God wants us to have of Him and His will is certainly deeper than that. And Paul alludes to this as we read on through the Ephesian letter. Let's jump down to chapter 5, looking at verses 8 through 10 of Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So here we have Paul writing to these brothers in Ephesians. They're Christians. They've given themselves over to the Lord. They have committed themselves to the Lord because they understand what God's will was for them. But despite that fact, despite that they had that basic understanding, Paul is admonishing these brethren to continue further seeking out what the will of the Lord is and what is acceptable and pleasing to our Lord, as other translations put it. For after we become Christians, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to further grow and mature in the Lord. And that growth and maturity requires for us to constantly becoming more knowledgeable of how the Lord would have us to live our lives. And if we continue on in the letter and jump down to verses 15 through 17, Paul continues to allude to this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So Paul is commanding the brethren, or admonishing the brethren, to walk circumspectly. And I like that word, circumspectly there. And a lot of the other translations render that word, or render this verse, to be careful how you walk. And I don't think it quite carries the connotation that the Greek word has, the meaning of the Greek word has. Because when you look up that Greek word that's translated circumspectly in the King James, and I would imagine in the New King James, it actually means exactly, diligently, perfectly. So what Paul is trying to tell the brethren here is that we need to walk exactly as the Father would have us to walk. That as we go through our lives, we need to be constantly considering what the Father would have us do, what His will is, as we go through our lives day to day. And this takes more than simple considerations as we walk through this day, and this takes more than a simple understanding of a Word of God. In order to understand and be knowledgeable of the will of the Father and all the aspects of our lives and all the things that He would have us to do and all the situations and how He would have us to act, we have to spend time educating ourselves on what the will of the Lord is. We have to spend time in the Bible, reading the Bible, to come to understand what God's will for us is. And this takes a very deep understanding and a delving into God's Word. And let's just take, for example, a couple verses. When you read Galatians 6 and 2 and you find the verse that says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you read that, what do you think when you read that? Because it's easy just to think, well, I need to help my brethren out when I can. But if we really stop and consider those words and really dwell on those and really put those words in our heart, so that when we walk throughout the day, we can really be more aware of how we can help our brother. We saw evidence of a man who has evidently spent some time thinking about that, the lesson that Scott gave last week, on how we can help bear one another's burdens. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 7 reads, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Now, there's a lot in those three verses on husbands loving their wives. And I don't know how many times I've read that and thought, well, I just need to love my wife a lot. But there's certainly a lot more in there that we need to consider. There's a lot more in there that we need to look at and examine and really put to ourselves and examine how we act in concordance with the scripture here. Because if I went through my day constantly considering, am I loving my wife like Christ has loved the church? I think things would go a lot easier sometimes. Because we have to take these words that God has given us in the knowledge and the will that he has given us to live our lives and really ingrain those into our hearts. So that as we walk through the day, we can walk circumspectly, that we can walk wise, and we can truly know how to act as Christians in following God. And I didn't bring up these two specific examples, Galatians 6 and 2 and Ephesians 25 through 27, for any specific reason. They just happen to be the first that came to mind. Because this is how we need to use the Word of God, to help understand God's will so we may be able to walk diligently in the Lord's will. For if we stop examining the Word and comparing it to the way that we are walking, we will soon find that the knowledge of the will of God that we had either never attained or have decided to lay aside will have left us. And then we will be left ignorant of what God would have us to do with our lives, and we will follow the path the Gentiles took. And as we transition to talking about the blindness of heart, there's one last point I'd like to make about ignorance. And that's the point that ignorance of God's will is something that takes a conscious decision. And I alluded to that point earlier when I made the point that ignorance and intelligence are two separate things in what we're talking about here. If you're ignorant of God's word, it has nothing to do with intelligence. It has to do with a will of finding out what God's will for us is. If an individual has been given the word of God or the message of Christ preached to him, but chooses not to accept the word of God and remain ignorant of his will, that is a conscious choice. And I believe that here in verse 18, we find that the choice that individuals make when they hear of the word of God, that the choice that they make to remain ignorant of his will and what God would have them do in their lives, is caused by the blindness of their hearts. I think that's where the root of the problem lies. I think we can see that here, that the Gentiles were ignorant of God's will because they had no desire to hear it, to truly listen to it, to seek after it, and to follow it. And the idea that the acceptance of God's word is based on the willingness of the heart is something that's brought out several times throughout the scripture. And let's take Lydia, for example, in Acts chapter 16 and 14. It reads, "The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by her." And I understand here that it's talking about the Lord opening her heart. And I'm not exactly sure what that means in the connotation of the Lord doing that for her. But the point that I want to make, that I want to draw out of this, was he opened her heart for what purpose? He opened her heart so that she would receive the words that Paul gave. That was necessary for her to hear, to listen to what Paul preached, was for her heart to be open. And let's look at the contrast of that in John chapter 12, in verses 42 and 43. It reads, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." So here we find men, rulers, who believed in what Jesus Christ was saying, but would not accept his words because of pride, because they desired the praise of man more than they desired the praise of God. And I understand that doesn't say anything in there about the heart or the willingness of the heart or the desire of the heart, but if we couple that with Mark 7:20-23, we find that that's where the root of the problem lay, because the root of the problem was in their pride, was in their self-righteousness. In Mark 7:20-23, it reads, "And he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man?" This is Jesus Christ speaking. "For from within, out of the hearts of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. And so we find here in these verses that Christ lists pride among several other sins, having its root in the desires of the heart. That is where that sin came from. And that is where these men's problem lied, was within their heart. They had no desire to hear the word of the Lord, because they desired not that, but they desired the praise of man. So it is out of the heart that we both accept the will of God or reject it. So we look at Ephesians 4:17 through 19, we find that the Gentiles were blind of heart. We ask ourselves, what causes blindness of the hearts of the Gentiles? Or more appropriately, what causes blindness in our own hearts? And this is something we've alluded to already, but let's talk about this a little deeper. In Jeremiah 17 and 9, it reads, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" When we look through the examples that we have in the Bible of people not accepting the Word of God, we find that there seems to be one constant, that their heart was deceiving them. Their heart was deceiving them in the fact that it was making them desire something besides the Lord. They desire this thing so strongly that they would not receive or follow the will of the Lord. And I think we can see that clearly, certainly the example that we find in John 42 and 43. These men did not follow the will of the Lord because they desired the praises of men, and that was not something they were willing to give up. We find that put forward in several other verses in the Bible. If we turn to Romans chapter 10, looking at verses 1 through 3, find Paul writing, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." So we find here that Paul's talking about the nation of Israel as a whole. And the nation of Israel as a whole was ignorant of God's righteousness. And why was it that they were ignorant of his righteousness? We find they were ignorant of his righteousness because they desired their own self-righteousness. It was their own self-righteousness that got in their way. It blinded their hearts of how they should, of the righteousness of God. In Romans 1 and 24, it reads, "Therefore God gave themselves up to uncleanness, to lust in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves." And once again, we see in this case that it was the lust of the heart that drew these people away. They saw something wicked that they desire, and they allowed themselves to follow after their desires. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts. But the desires of the heart for things that are condemned as sinful are not the only things that can close off our heart against God. Let's take the rich young ruler, for example, that we find in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. When the man asked Jesus Christ, what do I need to have eternal life, to attain eternal life, Christ responds to him, he tells him to keep the commandments. And then he presumes to rattle off a few of the commandments that this man is to keep, and he says, "Well, I keep all these." But then Christ tells him to sell his riches and give it to the poor. And what did this man do? He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And the problem here was not that the man was rich. That's not the sinful act. The problem was that the man desired the riches more than he desired God. He was not willing to give those things up for God. The problem lied in the fact that his heart had too great of a desire for the riches in order to give those things up to follow the Lord. And granted, we ourselves are in a different position, this man, being that we've already accepted the Lord and have submitted to his will, but our desires for things of this world, the non-spiritual things that are not sinful, like the riches that we see here, can also get in the way of our understanding of the will of the Lord. Let's take, for example, just the other day I was talking with a brother, and the subject that we were talking about, and this is going to sound kind of weird when I start this off, is that we were actually talking about fishing, because, well, I like to fish a lot, and this man likes to fish a lot. And as we were talking, he made a curious statement that was very encouraging to me, and it showed a lot of maturity in the man. Because he said, "You know, I have to be careful because this is something that I could easily get too involved in." And I think that's an interesting statement. We're talking about fishing here. And he's making the point that I have to be careful because this is something I could get too easily involved in. And I want to take a moment and elaborate on that point a little bit because that's all he really said about that subject. So now we're going back to my thoughts. Because I'm easily in the same shoes as he in the very same thing. You know, if I allow myself, I can become awayed with the very same hobby. You know, next thing I know, I'm spending my time reading books that have to do with matching the hatch. I'm sitting at the decks at my desk with my nerdy magnifying glass, shoulders hunched over my fly tying materials, and I'm trying to perfect my blue winged olive. So the next time I go down to Bennett Springs, I'm going to be able to really catch a lot of fish when those flies start hatching. And while I'm doing this, my Bible sits closed next to me on the desk, idle. Or I begin taking time during the warm parts of the year to spend my time fishing, to go out of town to spend my Sunday mornings in a stream fishing when I really should be here, encouraging you and being encouraged in return and praising the Lord. And the point I like to make is that with everything that we choose to do, that there is an opportunity cost involved. And many things, and it's dependent upon each person, we can become too involved in these things and they begin to get in the way of our lives with Lord. In Ephesians 5 and 16, a scripture we read earlier, Paul admonishes the brethren to redeem the time. And the idea that Paul is expressing here is that we need to be using our time wisely. And when we allow the desires of our heart to control our lives, even if there's something so simple and seemingly harmless as fishing, we can be pulled away from the Word and from the body and eventually alienating us from God. So, brethren, as we close this lesson this morning, I want to ask you, what is it that your heart desires? What are the things that you desire to do? What are the things that pull at you? For from within, out of the heart, proceed the evil thoughts. And that is what happened to the Gentiles. Ephesians 4, 17 through 19 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, and the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." These brethren had hardened their hearts against the will of God because of the sinful things of the world that they had begun to desire. They had hardened their hearts against God and become ignorant of God's will because they began dwelling on futile thoughts and not on what the Lord would have them dwell on. And as their thoughts became more and more futile, they began to separate farther and farther from God. And His will, and their understanding of His will, and how He would have them to live, went away, and they became ignorant of God's will and how He would have them live their lives. And brethren, this is something that can easily happen to us as well. And let's be careful that we keep it from happening. Let's be careful that we open our hearts to the Word of the Lord and continually seek out what is acceptable to the Lord, always delving deeper in an understanding of what the will of the Lord is. And we're going to close this morning with a gospel invitation and invite you to do very much of the same thing that I just said to the brethren here that have given themselves to the Lord. To open your heart and to accept the will of God. You know the message that Christ has preached. If you've been here on a regular occasion, you know that God has given us grace and mercy, the opportunity for grace and mercy, and has given us Jesus Christ to redeem us of our sins. But that grace and mercy must be accepted by you. And if you have not accepted that, we ask you why. What desires are keeping you from doing this? And we ask you to open your heart to the Lord and come forward and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and begin your life of seeking after the Lord and what His will for you is.